Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We're still in my favorite story of the Bible and in the Quran. It is the story of Joseph as we continue to compare the nonsensical teaching or material which we have in the pages of the Quran. That is Quran chapter 12. And let me remind you, now this is not just a story in the Quran. This is the best of the Quran. Not because I said so, but because that's what Allah said in Quran chapter 12 and verse 3. As Allah told Muhammad, we narrate to you the best of the stories by which we reveal to you this Quran. Here you go. Listen carefully. And before it, you were among the unaware. Allah is telling Muhammad, before I have given you that great chapter, chapter 12, you did not know. And I will assure you that even when we get to the last verse, that is verse 111 of that chapter, we will assure everyone that not only Muhammad does not know anything about Joseph, but not any other person in the world, but any child who can read the account of Joseph in Genesis account will know it much better than all Muslim scholars, more than Allah, Jibreel, and Muhammad himself. So let's move on to our study to see what else we see from the errors of the Quran and what is the true biblical account according to Genesis. I'd like to remind you of what we covered in a previous broadcast in verse 78 of Quran chapter 12. They said, these are Joseph's brothers speaking to Joseph, oh you the dear, surely he has a very aged father, so take one of us instead of him, surely we see that you are of the doers of good. Well, that has nothing to do with doers of good. This does not even fit with the justice which any person would expect from a person who have some goodness in him. Why is that? Because how can you punish somebody for somebody else? That's not the Quranic beliefs. Allah in the Quran is very clear. No one will bear the sin of others. If Joseph's little brother stole the cup of Joseph, then Joseph's little brother is the one who must pay for the sin of his hands, not another one of his brothers. You see, that may fit in the Christian belief. That may fit in the Jewish belief, because in the Jewish law, somebody sinned, somebody paid for it by meaning that maybe we offer sacrifice. And the sacrifice will be the substitute for the crime or the sin of the man or a woman who have sinned against Yahweh. So it is in Christianity. We know that the Father sent the Son, and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ died on the cross as a substitute for us. Therefore, we are no longer guilty of the sin we commit. But that's not what the Quran teaches. That's not in the ideology of Islam. But I want to take us to the Genesis account to see what really happened before that statement. He have an old father, and you need to take one of us instead of our brother who sinned and stole your cup. That's why we have to go back to Genesis account, and we are in chapter 44, beginning from verse 18. That is the story which Muhammad forgot to mention in the Quran. Why? Because he does not have details. He does not know who is talking and saying what to who. That is the problem. Not only, by the way, in Joseph's story, but in every story Muhammad mentioned in the Quran, beginning from creation all the way until even the story of Muhammad himself. That's why we don't even know how can we find Muhammad in the Quran. In Genesis chapter 44 verse 18, we read, then Judah came near to him and said, notice here, not one of the brothers. No, we know exactly which one. His name is Judah. And he came near to Joseph and said, what? Oh my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. You see here how the conversation is taking place? Judah is begging that man in Egypt, and he honors him by calling him, "You're like Pharaoh. Please don't be angry with me. Please listen to my heart. Here is the story." As we continue in verse 19, "My Lord asked his servant, saying, 'Have you a father or a brother?'" Oh, that is a conversation which Muhammad never mentioned to start with in the Quran in chapter 12. "All that we got there, bring to me a brothers of you from your father." How in the world did Joseph come up with that question from the blue sky to learn about if his brother is still alive or if his father is still alive? It does not make any sense. You cannot understand the clear Quran, the easy book to understand, without going back to Genesis account. See here, Judah is telling us what happened. "You, sir, you, master, you like Pharaoh, asked us, 'Do we have a father? Do we have any brothers?'" Okay, let's move on to verse 20. "We said to you, 'We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age who is young. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him.'" Do you think Judah is lying here? Do you think Judah is making a story here? Or he's reminding Joseph of what took place just a few months ago? In verse 21, "Then you, O Lord, said to your servant, 'Bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him.' We said to my Lord, 'The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die.'" Verse 23, "But you said to your servants, 'Unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more.' So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, 'Go back and buy us a little food.' But we said, 'We cannot go down. If our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us.' Then your servant, my father, said to us, 'You know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers." Notice here, that story I just read with you in the Quran is summarized in one verse, in verse 78, as we read, "They said, 'Oh, you the dear, surely he has a very aged father. So take one of us instead of him. Surely we see that you are of the doers of good.'" Imagine me, the confession of Judah to his brother Joseph, the retelling of what took place, which obviously Joseph knows, but Muslims do not know because it was never written in the early portion of the story of the Quran as the first trip of Joseph's brothers to Egypt, nor here in verse 78 as we are close to the end of the story. That portion is gone. And all what we learn, oh, he have an old father, and please take one of us instead of him. No, Judah did not say take one of us. He simply said take me instead of him. Let me read it again to you. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brother. Let's go to verse 34 of Genesis 44. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father? What a great confession. What a great truth. Sadly, our dear Muslims do not know.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
How shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father? Let me go back to the Quran to tell you how the story is written there. In verse 80, so when they had lost hope of him. Lost hope of what? They just said a verse. They just said a statement. There's no back and forth between Joseph's brothers and Joseph. It's just a silly, ridiculous one sentence. And they lost hope. Do you think that will be the real story if any logic and common sense is inserted in the dialogue between Joseph and his brothers? There's no bleeding. There's not a reminder of what took place before. Because obviously, once again, the early portion of the story is not mentioned in the Quran. So how can Muhammad insert it now here in the end of the second trip? Once again, verse 80. So when they had lost hope of him, they went and spoke privately. Excuse me. Mr. Pharaoh-like here, whatever your name is, because we do not know. Can we have a separate room? Because we're going to have a secret meeting, a private meeting. We don't want you nor your people to hear what we're going to be talking about. After all, Joseph and his brothers and the Egyptian, everybody speaking Arabic. And they all swear by Allah as if everyone in the story is a true Muslim believer, as we have read in our previous study. What in reality? If they do not know that is Joseph, and if they do not know that he speaks the Hebrews, they will just take their time and talk openly. You don't have to hide it. And listen to the details of the Quran. The oldest of them said, the oldest of them, what is his name? Does he have a name? How did they know it was the oldest? Maybe it was the youngest. Maybe it was the middle guy, the fat guy, the short guy, the skinny guy. How do we know? But the oldest of them. Obviously, Jibreel, Allah, Muhammad do not know the name of the brother who is speaking in the story of the Quran in that verse. Do you not know that your father indeed has taken a firm oath from you before Allah, and how formally you failed in your duty with regard to Joseph? Whoa. What happened to the story of Joseph in the Quran? I think maybe some influence of Genesis' account is being put on that oldest brother. Because I'm sorry, when I go back to what happened in the early verses of the Quran, beginning from verse 9 of Quran chapter 12, here's what Allah said, kill Joseph or throw him to a land, and to you your father's face will be set, and after this you will become a good people. In verse 10, a speaker among them said, do not kill Joseph and cast him down to the bottom of the ship, which is a word, well, some travelers will pick him up if you were doing. Now let me remind you that these verses we're reading here took place as the brothers were plotting to take Joseph from their father to have fun in the field in the following day. The brothers were planning to do that to Joseph when Joseph was a little boy. From the reading of the word of Allah in the Quran, we can guess, 4 years old, maybe 5 years old, if I stretch the number a little bit. And that is what we read in the Quran. Because in verse 11, they went to their father and they said that the wolf ate their brother Joseph. How in the world now the oldest, who we do not know who is he, is telling us almost similar to that which we have read in the Bible. First of all, the propaganda of the oath, the firm oath of Allah, is not in the Bible, and it does not make any sense in the Quran, as I said before, because how are you going to make an oath between people and Allah and have some witnesses and write a contract? It's a dumb verse. Second of all, there was not any disagreement among all the brothers of Joseph, according to the Quran, about get rid of him. The disagreement was about, should we kill him or should we throw him in the well? Yeah, they don't want to kill him, they throw him in the well, and some traveler picked him up, and then some traveler sold him to some other people, and he ended up to be an adopted boy for Al-Aziz and his beautiful, attractive wife. End of story. That is what the Quran said. But here we see in the Quran a little bit closer information to that which we read in the Bible. As the oldest said, and how formerly, you failed in your duty with regard to Joseph. What duties he failed in regard to Joseph is that they took that little boy from his father, as is already planned by the brothers, all of them, is to get rid of him, to kill him, or the new idea, just throws him in some well, and somebody will find him, and he will be gone for good. Continue with verse 80. So I will not depart the land until my father gives me permission, or may Allah judge for me, and he is the best of the judges. Excuse me, what? Yes, indeed, the oldest brother will stay in Egypt unless his father said, okay, boys, bring your oldest brother back, and we just forget about what happened. This is the comedy of Allah's word in the Quran. In verse 81, return to your father. So say, O our father, surely your son has stolen. We bear witness only of what we knew, and we were not a keeper to the unseen. We did not know what's going to happen. It just, this is what happened. And we can't help it, Dad. And to prove that we're not lying to you, Dad, we go to verse 82. And as the village which we were in and of the caravan with which we have arrived, and surely we are truthful. You know what, Dad? If you don't believe us, these guys were traveling with us in the caravan. They saw everything, and they will bear witness that we're telling the truth. When in reality, this never took place. Joseph would have never led his brothers to go back from Egypt to the land of Canaan to let their father know that Benjamin is gone, because Joseph is not that cruel man to let his father die being sorrowful for the loss of his beloved son Benjamin. As we're going to see in the biblical account, this never took place. It is so foolish from the people who helped Muhammad to write the poetry of Quran chapter 12 simply because they're so ignorant of the true biblical account. And to prove my point, here's what Allah said in verse 83. He said, who's he here? That is Jacob. Somehow we jump from the passage of verses 81, 82, as the oldest son will not go back to the land of Canaan unless his father gave him permission, that immediately in verse 83 he made it back. He said, Jacob said, yet you have arranged all this affair among yourself. What in the world Jacob is talking about? Oh, it's just a plan you guys made. It is a play or a drama you put together. And what is his response after that? He said, So patience is beautiful. Perhaps. I love Allah in the Quran to use the word perhaps. And I love it when Jacob used the word perhaps. And the whole story of the Quran, perhaps, is the dumbest story I've ever read in my life. Perhaps Allah will bring all of them to me. Surely He is the knowing, the wise. What is all of them? Surprise, surprise. As we continue in our study, you see that Jacob here, according to Muslim scholars, is talking about the oldest son and Benjamin and Joseph, which will contradict the following verses of the Quran from which we learn that Jacob actually will start crying. After all these years, Joseph's father, Jacob, will start crying for the loss of his son Joseph. And I don't know why he will cry to the point that he will lose his eyesight if he is asking his sons to be patient. Let me say it again to you. So patience is beautiful. Perhaps Allah will bring all of them to me. Surely He is the knowing, the wise. And here I must say once again, I'm sorry. Allah is not the knowing, the wise. I do not see so much knowledge Allah knows here in the rewriting of the beautiful account of Joseph in these ridiculous verses in the poetry of the Quran. And I do not know what wisdom Allah has to destroy a great true biblical account to make poetry with few verses in the Quran. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.